Hello, and welcome to the greatest holiday gift of all, Legends of Philadelphia. Just a lie right up front. First thing is a lie.
First false.
These are your hosts, Tony Mistletoe Trove, and his schoolyard chum, Johnny Jingle Bell Zito.
Ding-a-ling.
I'm Brian, baby Jesus Bierman, helping out on engineering duties. Not big baby Jesus. That was an old dirty bastard. You might be wondering, how do these assholes stay so cheery? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Trove and Zito have a lifestyle brand, South Fellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts and poinsettias.
Bam for cats.
Lots of times, customers will ask us, would Santa prefer a little biscotti and espresso this year? Mm. Or they want to know if this is finally our last Christmas episode of 2022.
Why did you stumble?
So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you.
We are recording this over a month before Christmas, so
You're in Wildwood. It's July.
I'm wearing swim trunks.
Where it's early, yeah.
Dude, I invested so much money in NFTs. It's gonna be great for me.
Oh my god,
this is gonna be great.
I'll tell you, those Phillies are going nowhere.
Straight up bums.
The NFT.
What a year it's been, or will be.
Oh my god, what a year it's been. Rich. By Christmas,
by Christmas, you're gonna be rich. You're gonna be rich. Boxing Day, you'll be. The happiest boy in South Philly.
Yes, this is our last Christmas episode. And today we are talking about Longwood Gardens, a botanical garden that consists of over 1,077 acres of garden, woodland, and meadows.
Garden.
In the Brandywine
Greenery.
Lots of pollen. That's what I hear.
Lots of pollen. Lots of sneezing. Bumps. Allergies. hives. Sneezing.
My eyes are watering just thinking about it.
Yeah, Dayquil. Well, I talk like this. Zito, I need a napkin. Just hurry up.
Longwood is open to visitors year-round to enjoy horticulture and seasonal-themed attractions. Most notable of these events are the Christmas celebrations that include festive trees draped in gilded garland. Join us today as we take a walk through Longwood Gardens. Have you guys ever been? You guys ever go to Longwood Gardens?
Yeah, I was thinking about it today. I was there when I was a kid, but I was real young, so I don't remember too much of it. But I do remember being bored. It's not fun for 4-year-olds.
Well, I went in 10th grade, and it was also not really that fun. I remember we.
All right, end of the podcast. I guess that's it.
That's that.
It stinks.
It stinks. our history teacher, our science teacher, took us there around Christmas time and in 10th grade. And I remember Greg Jean Canarino asked them where they kept the cannabis plants. And I remember.
Did he get in trouble?
And I remember they were like, oh, well, that breed. Like, I remember they like actually answered him. I was like, I can't believe this.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They get groovy down at the Longwood Gardens, I guess.
I guess. And groovy. And they have that organ. They have that giant organ over there.
So they smoke pot and they play organ. They do sound like.
Yeah, and it got DeVita.
Yeah, they sound like pretty rockin' folks, actually.
Mm-hmm. Then why is it so boring? I guess I wasn't high when I was 4, so.
You were 4 years old, you weren't high. Your parents were fucking blitzed.
Maybe now it's amazing. It's probably still boring.
Damn it.
I don't know. Are we getting paid? Wait, this is a sponsor? I'm sorry.
No, it's not. This isn't Philly Magazine. We're not getting paid. So, yeah, we can do whatever we want.
Wow, You guys are burning it all down.
We're burning it all down. The last episode of the,
I
of the year.
Say, I just want to remind, I never say anything about any publication. I am available for freelancing.
Well, you're work for hire for yeah.
You're playing both sides. You're riding the fence pretty hard on this.
I don't. I haven't said anything.
You're the most controversial member of the podcast. So,
why? Because I love mayonnaise and I won't apologize for it.
We get so many letters.
I didn't even have to say
death
what
threats.
It was
really,
about it. You knew it. Death. Yeah.
Margarine people are. They're loud.
Mm-hmm.
Big ketchup runs Pennsylvania.
Big ketchup.
Aren't we ketchup?
I haven't been to Longwood Garden since I was a kid. I went in the summertime, so there was no like Christmas fanfare. It was during the day, so it was like really hot, and there was mosquitoes outside, and I'm just not an outdoors person, so I don't have fond memories of it either.
Why did you pick this?
Well, it was like the very last Christmas thing that we haven't done yet. So
okay.
Here it is on Boxing Day.
There's a real reason, but we're gonna save it to the end so people will stick around.
There is the real reason. Right.
That's
right,
true.
Right.
There's a real reason.
This was actually what I wanted to talk about, like a year ago, and then we were like, we'll save it for Christmas. Because why it's fascinating has nothing to do with Christmas. But we'll say that to you.
But you got to sit through all this Christmas crap first. Well, that's a pretty good lead-in. That's a hook.
Look at that. We're like a real show.
For thousands of years, the native Lenni Lenape tribe fished the Brandywine Creek, hunted the nearby forest, and planted its fields. So there's like a pretty lush area around these parts. To begin with.
Beautiful.
In 1700, a Quaker farmer named George Pierce purchased 402 acres of this English-claimed land from William Penn's commissioners. George's son Joshua cleared and farmed the land, and in 1730, he built the brick farmhouse that still stands there today.
And nothing has grown higher than its...
There's no giant sunflowers or anything.
No, it's not. I just made that up. Sorry.
How big is this farmhouse?
It was like regular farmhouse size, but they have expanded it since then. So while it is the original farmhouse, it's like it's got like a big
they added a sauna onto it.
No, like a big ballroom or whatever. It's like for hosting now.
Like a disco.
It's the hottest disco in town. It's the hottest disco in Brandywine. The robot from Rocky IV DJs there every Christmas Eve. So in 1798, Joshua's twin grandson, Samuel and Joshua, who had inherited the farm, actively pursued an interest in natural history. And they began planting an arboretum that eventually covered 15 acres. The collection included specimens that they had collected from the wilds, as well as plants acquired from some of the region's leading botanists. So these guys were just like collecting seeds, growing whatever they could.
15 acres back then is 47 acres now. Acre inflation. Look it up.
Acreflation.
By 1850, the Arboretum boasted one of the finest collections of trees in the nation and had become a place for the locals to gather outdoors, a new concept that was sweeping America at the time.
People are crazy about it.
Before 1850, if you went outside, it was because you had to. It's because like you had to work or something. You had to work in a field.
Yeah.
But after 1850, somebody was like, "How about picnics? What if I ate outside because I wanted to?"
Not because I had to. Too many wolves back then.
Yeah, I mean, you go out for a picnic, and then some bear comes along, just mauls you.
I don't need that. And he steals my picnic basket? Come on, I don't need that.
And he steals your basket? Well,
the bear's wearing a collar and tie.
Yeah, and the other one's making smart aleck remarks about my personal appearance. I don't need that.
No, that's a lot. That's a lot. This is why people mostly lived indoors and why they continue to live indoors to this day.
To this day.
outdoor gatherings have never really caught on.
No.
All right.
Because of the wolves and the bears.
Yeah. It just got worse. And it's hot.
Plus global warming. Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Well, yeah, sure. Of course.
That and the Yogi Bear attacks.
Oh, the Yogi Bears, sure.
The Pennsylvania Guide noted Longwood received its present name from Long Woods, as the section was known before the Civil War. Slaves fleeing from the South found shelter in this station on the Underground Railroad, supported by Quakers of Kennett Square. So,
oh, wow.
So it was called Pierce Farm before this, but to keep it, like, have a secret name or give it a code name, it was called the Long Woods. So on the Underground Railroad, that's what it was referred to as. And then...
And so people are like, I'm not stopping there.
Well,
that sounds scary. No, it's so...
It was less to keep people away and more to give, like, a landmark name recognition combo so that you didn't have to be familiar with the area or what the farm's name was to know what it was. This long stretch of trees was the Long Woods.
And the Underground Railroad, will quickly, that was a kind of a passage system for slaves to leave the South and go up north in secret. But there was, like, people helping along the way.
Yeah, kind of like shuttling them and providing, like, shelters just because, like, they couldn't do it all in one trip. And Longwoods was one of those spots, yeah.
I'm sure we could probably do an episode just on that in Philadelphia.
I'm sure there are much more serious podcasts that could do a whole season on it.
Oh, ones that don't make Yogi Bear jokes on their shows?
And boo-boo.
I mean, any Hanna-Barbera reference at all is really just not where you want... is not really the caliber of historian you want covering this topic.
That's a red flag.
Yeah. But we touched on it. We're letting people know what happened. As the 19th century rolled into the 20th, the family's heirs lost interest in the property and allowed the arboretum to deteriorate. The farm passed out of the family through several hands in quick succession. And a lumber mill operator was about to cut down all of the trees for timber in early 1906.
Evil.
I know, right? This is like some Fern Gully shit.
It was going to be for popsicle sticks. They're going to make popsicle sticks and give popsicles to every Philadelphian. Nope.
No
sticks.
so who's the bad guy?
Different world. We'll be living in a different world. Yep. Now is the bad guy.
So who's the real bad guy?
Because you wanted popsicle sticks, thousands of Yogi Bears have nowhere to live now.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
What flavor popsicle, though? What's a 1906 flavor, like mint julep or something?
It's... Yeah, licorice or...
They were celery flavored, right? They were celery popsicles.
Celery.
It was pre-celery.
Yeah, bean.
The threat of deforestation moved Pierre DuPont, American entrepreneur, businessman, philanthropist, and member of the prominent DuPont family, to take action. Pierre DuPont bought the land and opened the garden to the public in 1921.
The DuPont family, that's the people that did those wrestling murders?
Yep, that's right, them.
Which were in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Near Pittsburgh.
Foxcatcher, that's what they're famous for.
Foxcatcher, sure.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things, but their family has been, like, successful and rich for, like, generations, right?
Correct, yeah.
So that's this family, though.
Yes. They were, and by this point, they're already super rich. They're rich enough to buy up all of this land and then just open it up free to people as a natural preserve. And I guess he didn't have plans. One of the articles I read about this said that he didn't have plans. DuPont didn't have plans to open it up as, like, a public space or anything like that. When he bought it, he just bought it so that the timber company couldn't cut them down. He was like, you know, that's such bad taste. Don't do that. And then when people showed how appreciative they were for the area being preserved. He was like, "Oh yeah, sure, come have your picnics, come chill out, it'll be great."
Very groovy of him.
When he died in 1954, he had in place a well-funded yet adaptable mechanism for Longwoods to continue. The garden was free, relying solely on its sizable endowment until 1973, when it finally began charging admission.
But that was almost 20 years later.
Yeah, and 50 years after it opened.
It's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Pretty good run for being free.
Yeah.
It was $400, though, when it did open. It was like Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
On opening day, the plants ate the people.
It was a bad PR nightmare.
Yeah, that solar eclipse.
I was free for 50 years. They had to start charging something in 1973. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find out how much admission was back then, though.
It was probably like a nickel. We'll just say it was a nickel.
A wooden nickel.
Yeah.
Right.
You had to bite into it.
You gotta bite it.
Because it's an arboretum. Mm-hmm. You pay with wooden nickels.
Like Underdog when he shines a shoe.
Yeah.
Every time he shines a shoe, he bites it.
You gotta bite it.
Like Underdog.
You know, cartoon from the 50s.
It's been a long year. Cut Brian some slack. It's been a long year.
And it's only July, too.
It's only July. Brian's drunk on margaritas in Wildwood, New Jersey.
I don't give a F.
He's recording from a jet ski right now.
He's going crabbing in the morning.
Those better be his traps. That's all I'm saying. So for these 50 years, the park was just kind of maintained. It wasn't like expanded or cultivated. What was there, you know, and maybe
is this not enough? Like, oh. Mother Nature's not enough for you goddamn people? There's not a roller coaster in it. There's not a giant mascot person.
A ball pit wouldn't kill him. You know what I'm saying?
Does she get some snakes?
Just like some big anacondas.
Yeah, they just like throw some snakes in there.
I think it would make it more interesting. I think it would definitely give a sense of adventure to the whole,
yeah,
the whole affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would ruin the ecosystem. It'd be littered with anacondas now, but
anacondas isn't the biggest snake. Just
no, I mean it probably should be the biggest
now,
snake.
If we're
though.
Doing it, we gotta yeah, if yeah. we're doing it, we're getting anacondas. Come on.
Don't phone it in.
Take a big swing.
All snakes are cool.
Boa constrictors are bust.
Boas are bust. Larry Boa. That's what we'd name him.
Larry Boa.
Larry Boa. Larry Boa constrictor. Cut that out. We're going to do that next year. We're going to do that as a t-shirt when Phillies come back.
As a t-shirt. Don't right. say
well, can I get some money off that?
Yeah. A wooden nickel. One wooden
nickel.
Wooden nickel. But over time, they started adding fountains. They started specifically seeking out certain plants to put there because they knew they would thrive in the ecosystem. And throughout the remainder of the 20th century, Longwood Gardens grew and adapted to the times, including adding more sustainable measures, offering different education programs, and hosting various events.
You know, it's a cool plant, Venus flytrap.
It is a cool plant.
It is a cool plant.
Go on.
Top 8 plant.
Any plant that eats human flesh is inherently interesting.
It doesn't eat human flesh.
Sure it does. If you don't think a Venus flytrap would eat you?
It couldn't. It's tiny.
They don't have them any bigger than that?
I don't know.
See, I wouldn't guarantee that they don't. This is why I don't go into the woods.
No, they had no, you know what? They have big they have ones that can eat birds because I've seen those. It'll take your hand off.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that sounds like it could get a hand, maybe a whole arm.
It like liquefies it, and it grabs its like nutrients. It's disgusting.
You have to chew your own arm off to get away from a Venus flytrap.
Oh, it's like 28 hours or whatever that movie is called. 48 hours. I'm sorry.
That Eddie Murphy movie.
No, Nick Nolte.
Nick movie. Nolte.
I guess it was a Nick Nolte movie. I guess he was the star.
Vehicle.
Eddie Murphy was the...
Nick Nolte. I liked him in the Buddy Holly movie.
Yep, that's another Nick Nolte movie.
It's the last one of the year. Give us a break.
I don't think it was Nick Nolte in that movie. I think it was Gary Busey, actually. I don't think it was Nick Nolte at all.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. It's the last one. Do we sound tired?
I'm not. I'm so full of Christmas cheer.
No, Nick Nolte's Prince of Tides. He's not.
Let's move on from Nick Nolte. In this Christmas episode about a garden.
All right, Gerard Depardieu. What movies was he in?
I don't know. You made him up. That's not a real person.
But none of these events compare to the growth of Longwood Garden's Christmas display. In the early 1960s, the display included a modest 1,000 poinsettias indoors and a small Christmas tree lane in the parking lot. Attendance soared as more features were added, and by 1984, there were 81 trees outdoors with 60,000 lights. Today, as many as 300,000 guests enjoy an extravaganza of 400,000 lights, 200 concerts, dancing fountains, and superb floral displays, just the sort of spectacle that Pierre Dupont loved.
200 concerts?
Yeah, I guess they do them a couple times. If they do three or four a day, yeah.
Damn.
I heard Slayer played there. It was awesome, I heard.
The DuPonts started the holiday tradition in 1921, welcoming families of their employees. The festivities opened to the public in 1957. Through 1984, visitors saw the lights from their cars, and then the decorations moved onto the garden grounds. The lit areas expanded into a loop that now stretches to the Meadows Garden and back to the main fountain garden. There are 400 acres for people to spread out on.
I do remember that the fountain is like giant. And that's like the middle of it.
Yeah, it looks like Versailles. It's insane.
It's crazy. You think it's the same water? It just recycles it.
They've been recycling it since 1921.
Yeah. It's got like tuberculosis in it.
Old timey diseases.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First edition cholera, right, yeah.
First edition, that's worth money.
Yeah, that's a collector's item. You want to hold on to that.
It's got some Legionnaire's disease in here.
Preservation is on the mission statement for the Longwood Gardens, so, you know.
Old diseases.
And that fits into it. Not just snakes and Christmas trees at Longwood Gardens.
There's more to it.
According to organizers, it takes more than a year to design Longwood Christmas. 200 people, students, staff, and volunteers, led by 25 different project leaders, work all year long planning, preparing, and making unique ornaments.
It's a huge thing. I mean, it's definitely like one of the big Christmas things around here. Of just like going there. People go every year and all. Every Christmas.
It's pretty whimsical.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying here that it began for the employees back in 1921, so last year was the 100-year anniversary of it technically existing, even though it's been open to the public since the late 50s, early 60s. It's been around for this long. It's part of their tradition. And I don't know, I think that's pretty neat to keep something going for that long is difficult.
There's got to be some plants from the beginning that are still alive, right? Some trees or
something? Yeah, definitely. Some of these trees have been around the
whole time.
Some
pothos.
Is that a plant?
It's a plant.
That pothos has seen some shit. That is crazy to think about, though. There's plants that have been there the whole time.
They've seen it all.
Let's cut them open and count their rings.
Just to do it.
Just to see how old they are.
You're disgusting.
The Christmas experience is such a large endeavor that there is a dedicated team that focuses just on stringing the lights.
Put the tree back in Christmas.
No. They put the moss in Christmas.
Put the moss back in Christmas. That's a great
Taco
slogan.
Bell's slogan. Don't give them ideas.
You're right.
By early March, the work officially begins in the space between regular activities. On rainy days over the summer months, staff and volunteers work on the natural decorations. Preparing, labeling, and stringing lights is a year-round task. By mid-August, arborists start wrapping trees with lights. They balance lights and landscapes. They add lights for people to walk underneath. They look for places to reflect lights in the water. So they're like, you know, they're working with the environment. They're not just throwing lights up everywhere.
And they're doing it all year. This is what they do in Whoville. That's about when they start.
This is what they do in Whoville.
Indoors, the exhibition hall looks like a scene from Frozen, with icicles above and below. A 21-foot tree dripping with silver ornaments slowly spins in the ballroom spotlight.
What if you never saw Frozen?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's like the heat miser's castle in the Rankin and Bass Santa Claus special.
Oh, why didn't you say that?
My bad. I should have led with that.
Did they have the actual characters from this Disney movie, or did they have to like bootleg it?
Oh, that's a good question.
It looks pretty bootlegged. It's definitely like the color scheme and the glittery snowflakes.
But they can't show like they can't say let it go.
Yeah, or let it be. They're really limited.
No, yeah. Their hands are tied.
They say let it yo. That's how they get around it.
Let it yo.
Completely different song. It's a parody.
Totally different song.
Totally different.
Ours goes ding, ding, da-da-ding, da-da-ding, ding.
Vanilla Ice. That's where they got the idea for Frozen.
That's where they got the idea for Frozen.
It's all connected, people. 2022, almost over.
Thank God.
A 22-foot tree in the East Conservatory glows with red, orange, and amber ornaments amid many poinsettias, cyclamens, and amaryllis. I don't know what any of those are. Cyclamens.
Okay.
Amaryllis.
All right. Listen, no one cares about this. No one cares about plants or Christmas. They want to hear the real reason. Why is Longwood Gardens? Why do people go? Why do people travel from all over the world, the country, the state?
Why did we do this episode at all? Well, possibly the most impressive attraction at Longwood Gardens is the restroom.
Tell us more.
What?
In 2014, America voted, and Longwood Gardens was named the best public restroom in all the land.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Which is amazing because Philadelphia has, like, probably 18 of the top 20 worst public restrooms in the world.
Some people say the whole city is a bathroom.
You ever have to go to the bathroom at 69th Street? It's like,
yeah, you just go wherever you want.
It's horrible.
You pee your pants. No one even cares.
So what makes the bathroom so special? 17 private restroom chambers are built right into a wall of living green. The restroom is located to the right of the East Conservatory at the end of a short hallway. There, you'll find a massive green wall measuring over 4,072 square feet, curving alluringly out of sight. The living garden is composed of more than 47,000 ferns, ivies, moss, and other plants, all embedded in the wall in a lush composition with a thick, woodsy scent.
Wow.
Sounds wonderful.
How much does this cost?
This was an expensive undertaking, I'm sure.
No, but how much does that cost to use?
Oh, a wooden nickel. It's the same price as it was in 1921.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
That's amazing.
I guess these were built more recently. In fact, the gardens have become so popular over the last 20, 30 years that they needed to have more inclusive restroom options for the visitors. And so these 17 private restroom chambers were built and are a necessity, but they did their best to make them also incorporated beautifully in the landscape that they have cultivated.
I'm going to be honest with you. This makes me want to go to Longwood Gardens.
So you've turned around. You've been convinced now.
Yeah.
Now, what was it that did it? The green wall or the solo chamber to urinate in?
I do like this. I didn't even know. I didn't even know it was a personal. It was a solo chamber. I thought it was just I didn't know that.
You sound flummoxed. You sound blown away by it, in fact.
Well, I'm just because it's I pictured it in my mind for so long, and it's not how I pictured it. It's even better.
What did you picture it like? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon?
Well, I figured it was a public bathroom, like you know, it's one big room, and it's split into stalls. I didn't know it was like you have your own space.
No, you're talking like the Vet. That's like Vet Stadium style. This is Longwood Gardens. This is a fancy event.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to go.
You don't piss with other people at Longwood Gardens. This is this is a fancy affair.
You think they have bidets?
Oh, that's a good question, Bierman. That's a good question.
I'm going to assume that at least some of these chambers are outfitted with bidets, yeah.
What do you think the toilet paper is like? It's probably amazing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's velvet. It's leaves. It's like leaves that feel like velvet.
Oh.
I knew you were to say that.
You pluck them off the plant. It's like potted at the edge of the room.
Oh, this is amazing. This is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
All facts.
Let's go. Someone pick us up. We're going.
According to Longwood caretakers, the green wall produces as much oxygen as 90 14-foot trees.
Wow.
Let's see your bathroom do that. My bathroom's poisoning the environment. This bathroom is contributing.
It's like bleach.
Inside each water closet, etched glass skylights provide natural light and contribute to the whole eco-friendly vibe. So not only is it private, but it has a view.
I'm trying to live here. Did you look up best bathroom of this year, though? Because that was 2014. Maybe it fell off.
I did not look up best public restroom of 2022. Should we do that now?
Yeah. The people are on the edge of their seats. Are you kidding?
People on the edge of their seats. People want to know. People are dying to know.
Or last year, if they don't have this year yet. It's still only July, so...
The subway-themed restaurant at Mason's Two Cities Pizza Company in Cincinnati.
Whoa, Cincinnati has the best bathroom?
Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, as of 2021.
Whoa, what's great about this?
It's some subway-themed restroom in a city with no subway, so they think it's, like, special.
It comes with chili. It comes with chili with spaghetti.
Like I've said, I've gone to the bathroom in subways. It is not a, this is not a great experience. Or subway bathrooms. I didn't go to the bathroom in a subway, although I've seen that happen.
I've gone to the bathroom in a Subway sandwich shop, and it wasn't much better.
You know, the subways in Japan, some of them have bathrooms on them.
On the actual subway train?
Yeah.
Those would be useful, but I bet no one in Philadelphia would use them anyway.
Yeah, true. They would not.
They'd use them, just not for going to the bathroom.
Incorrectly.
Okay, you guys have anything else you want to say about Longwood Garden?
I'm trying to go.
Happy New Year, everyone. Oh, see you next year.
I'm trying to. Now that Christmas is over, I'm going to go because it's not as packed. Now I can go. I can go to the bathroom a couple times. You know what I mean? No one's going to be knocking on the
door.
Yeah, it's
like Halloween candy after Halloween. It's half price now.
Yeah, you bring a big Gatorade with you.
I think you have to tip. or something? You think there's like a person that like gives you like a mint or whatever?
Maybe, yeah, probably. It's fancy.
It's a kind of beekeeper costume. He like washes your hands for you. Drive him.
That would be terrifying.
He watches you pee, and then he dries your hands for you.
Like if someone is like a beekeeper, like why are you covered up?
All right, everybody. Happy Boxing Day. Happy New Year. We're taking off next week. Don't miss us too much.
Yeah, don't unsubscribe though, because it always dips. Please come back the next week.
It takes a dip. Yeah, take this as an opportunity to check out the archives.
We need a break. Come on, man. You kidding me? I'm tired. Sick of this crap.
I promise we're coming back.
For real. We are. Thank you, everyone who listened all year. And thank you. I don't know.
Good Beerman, you sound like we have a gun to your head.
I just poured my heart out right now.
You sound like a hostage.
Did you prepare that, Beerman? Wow.
All right, can I leave now? Now can I go?
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about Longwood Gardens. Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Visit us at 1507 East Passyunk Avenue in beautiful South Philadelphia. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We're at South Fellini everywhere.
TikTok.
Follow along and join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. What's your New Year's resolution? Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Get boosted. And keep rocking around the Christmas Arboretum.
No, we're done with that till next year.